Am I live or am I Memorex? All right, good deal. Turn your Bibles with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 9. When you found that, if you'll stand with me, we'll know we're all there. By the way, there's some in the front of the pews there. If you didn't bring one, you'd like to follow along. I'm going to read in verse 27 and verse 28. For it is appointed for man to die once, and then comes the judgment. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him. Pray with me. Father, we just come before you today, thanking you for your goodness and grace. Again, Lord, we thank you for each and every one's gathered here today. And Lord, now as it comes to the time to share your word, Lord, I just pray that we will hear you, we'll obey you. Holy Spirit, just speak to us and through us. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness, for your goodness, for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Give everybody beside you a high five this morning. All right, you may be seated. Well, it is good to see all this orange and some blue this morning. We're glad that you're here with us. And as we think about this particular passage of Scripture, you know, it seems kind of odd we'd think about this today. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible tells us that every one of us at some point in time are going to leave this world. And our soul is going to go from us. And, you know, no one knows when that's going to be. We just don't have any clue when that's going to happen. Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 says it this way. There is appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. It goes on to say that death is the destiny of every man, and that we as the living should examine this in our heart. Now, I want you to think about just a minute. Someday, every one of us will pass away. And our bodies will return back to the dust that it came from. And more than likely, you'll be placed in a cemetery and you'll be given a tombstone, and something will be wrote on there. It will have the day you were born and the day that you passed away. Sometimes it will have a verse or a scripture verse or a saying or some little picture. And that is called an epitaph that goes on the tombstone. I want to share one with you this morning that I heard about one time. It said this. Remember, friend, as you pass by, remember, friend, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, someday you'll be. Prepare for death and follow me. Now, somebody went and wrote on that, and they said, to follow you is not my intent unless I know which way you went. Now, that's really important, isn't it? And that really did happen. I just kind of couldn't remember it there for a minute. So I want you to think about that. When we leave this life, we're going to have a tombstone. We're going to have something to remember us. And on that date that we were born is not the important part. The day we die is not the important part. You know what the most important part is? It's that little dash in between. Because that little dash represents your life. That represents all the time that you had here on earth. And all the good things, all the bad things, all the things we are done are represented by that dash. And the difference that you have a chance of making in somebody's life. How many of y'all ever know who William Wallace was? Anybody know who William Wallace was? How many know who Mel Gibson is? Got a few more. How many saw the movie Braveheart? Well, Mel Gibson is the one that portrayed William Wallace in that. And he was a Scottish knight. He was a freedom fighter that led in the resistance for independence in the late 1200s, early 1300s. It's a great movie if you didn't see it, but he was a great man. And he literally gave his life fighting for his people, wanting to make a difference in somebody else's life. And when he was captured and they began to torture him, they gave him a chance to renounce his beliefs, or he could die for them. And you know what William Wallace said? Listen to me carefully. This is what he said. Every man will die, but not every man really lives. You see, he really made a difference in the lives of the people that were around him. His life counted to make a difference for somebody else. Now, when we think about that and the fact that he faced death knowing that his life was worthwhile, that ought to be the goal of each and every one of us, to make a difference in this world during that dash that we have here. Now, he was a hero, and the Bible is full of heroes. You know, if you go back and you try to pick a few, you think of Noah. I mean, if Noah hadn't built that boat, what would have happened? And then you got Abraham, who was called out to another country to go for God, and he became a father of a nation. And then you had Moses, who wasn't a very good speaker, but he went and talked Pharaoh, and God used him, and he set his people free. And then you had a fellow by the name of Joshua that took the group after the 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and he led them to great victories. What about that young lady by the name of Esther, who was a queen, and she sacrificed her life in need to be to save the people that she loved and she cared for? What about David? When he was a boy, he took a lion and a bear out and Goliath with a slingshot. There was a lot of heroes in the Bible. Now, I want you to think about something this morning. I want you to think about, since it's Super Bowl and it's Upward Day, if we were picking a fantasy team, if we were picking a super team for God, who would you choose? I mean, today is that Super Bowl thing, and if you were in charge of picking your fantasy team, how many of y'all actually do fantasy football or basketball? We got a very few, but if you were picking a quarterback, how many of y'all would pick Manning today? Let's see some hands. Okay, how many would pick that other guy? What's his name? Drew Brees, yeah. How many would pick Drew Brees? How many of y'all wish Favre was playing? Yeah. But now, if we were picking a basketball team, and you go back, and I'm going to go back a little beyond y'all. Any of you guys ever remember a guy named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Yeah, I see a few. And then you had a fellow by the name of Michael Jordan. I think he played basketball, I'm pretty sure of it. Magic Johnson. Larry Bird. Yeah, how about that Larry Bird? He's a pretty good player. Would you want him on your team? What about Kobe Bryant? Anybody would want Kobe Bryant? Can he play? And it was that other guy they talked about, LeBron James. Be a pretty good team, wouldn't it? They might win a game occasionally if they were all on the same team. But now, what if you were going to the New Testament and you got to pick your team to go out and share Jesus around the world? Who would you pick? Well, let's think about it. I got five. You know which my first pick would be? Peter. You know why I like Peter? Because he was always saying stuff that got him in trouble, and I can relate to that. He was always running out there just headstrong. But you know what? When God called Peter, it was really cool because it was his brother Andrew who went and got Peter and said, "I have found the Messiah." And he brought Peter to see Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, he said, "Your name is Simon of Bar-Jonah, but I'm going to change it. It's going to be called Peter from now on." And then he went on back and he went to his fishing business. And then one day they were out fishing and they'd caught nothing. Man, they were wore out and they were tired. And Jesus told him, said, "Launch back out in the deep for a catch one more time." And they thought he had lost his mind because, you know, you can't catch fish in the middle of the day in deep water. But nevertheless, they did it. And man, they caught a ton of fish. They loaded the boat. And when he come back, Peter came and fell to his knees and said, "Forgive me, God, forgive me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You see, Peter was exactly who God was looking for. He wanted somebody who realized in his own weakness they could do nothing, but through the power of God they could accomplish great things. And so Peter went on, and man, God used him. Matter of fact, his first sermon that he preached, 3,000 people came to the Lord. Can you imagine that? And then he went out the next day, and this guy was sick, and they prayed over him, and he was healed, and 5,000 more got saved. Man, that guy God used in a great and mighty way, just sharing the simple gospel. So Peter would be on my list. And then I want to think about somebody else. There's a guy called a demoniac. That means a crazy guy. He wasn't right. I get that a lot myself. You ain't right all the time. That's why I kind of like this guy. But, you know, he come out of the boat, and Jesus and the disciples come across the lake, and they get out of the boat, and here's this guy, this demoniac, and he really has got problems. He is demon-possessed. He's got tons of legions, and this guy would run around, and he'd cut himself, and they would try to chain him up, and he would get so forceful that he would break the chains, and he lived in a graveyard. I mean, this guy was just, he was way off his rocker, and it was because he was demon-possessed. And when God spoke to him, those demons said something about, "Who are you, Jesus? What do you want with me?" And Jesus said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legions, because there's many." There were many demons inside of him. And God, just at the speaking of the word, said, "Come out," and this guy was healed. He was perfectly fine. And then God cast those demons into a bunch of pigs, 2,000 of them. And they ran off in the sea, and they all drowned. Now, you thought everybody around there would be excited about that, wouldn't you? Man, this crazy guy is made well. No, they were upset. They lost their pigs. And they said, "Jesus, go away. We don't want you around here." And he left. And this demon-possessed man, he wanted to follow Jesus. He said, "Man, I want to go with you." And Jesus said, "No, you stay back here and you tell your friends and your family what I did for you and how your life has been changed." So he stayed back. And we read on over in Mark a few chapters later, and Jesus came back through this area. And you know what happened this time? People came from everywhere. They were healed of diseases, blind made to see, lame made to walk. And on one day, there were 4,000 of them gathered together for a meal. Guess who told them about Jesus? That crazy guy that was now insane, that had been left there, had spread the fame all over, and 4,000 people had showed up. And then what about the Samaritan woman at the well? You remember about her? Jesus was walking through up in Samaria, and the disciples went to get something to eat. And while he was standing there, this Samaritan woman came by, and he said, "How about a drink of water?" Well, she looked at him and really strange and said, "I can't believe you're asking me for water," because see, the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along at all. There was a big racial problem. They wouldn't even talk to each other, and she could not believe that Jesus would talk to her. And Jesus said, "If you knew what the gift of God was, and if you knew who I am, then you would ask me for the everlasting water." And she said, "What is this water? How do I get this water? You don't have anything to draw from. How are you going to get that water out of this well?" And Jesus began to tell her, said, "Call your husband." She said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "That's exactly right, but you've had 5 in the past. And the guy you're living with right now, he's not married to you." And she's like, "How did you know this?" And she said, "I see you're a prophet." And she started asking him all kinds of questions. And about that time, the disciples came back with something to eat. And she went away and she began to tell that entire city, "Man, I met this guy and he knew all about me. He knew everything I ever did." And many of them believed in Jesus because of her testimony. But the Bible says within 2 days, she brought almost that entire city to Jesus because they heard from her first, and then they saw him and they believed. God used that woman in a great and mighty way. Now, the other guy I picked for my team was probably not one y'all would think about. He would not made a very good basketball player. His name was Zacchaeus. Jesus was walking down the road to Jericho one day, and the crowds were following him, and there's this guy named Zacchaeus, and he was a tax collector, and he was a crook. He cheated everybody out of their money, and he was a little bitty short guy. And so he couldn't see Jesus, so he went down there and he climbed up in this sycamore tree so he could get a look at Jesus. And when Jesus came walking by, he looked up at him and said, "Zacchaeus, I'm going to come to your house today." And man, was he excited. He come out of that house and he went to took Jesus over to his place, and all these people came. And he said, you know what I'm going to do, Jesus? I'm going to give half of everything I have to the poor. And anybody that I've cheated, I'm going to give them back four times what I took from them. Man, can you imagine that? You know what Jesus said? He said, Zacchaeus, salvation has come to your house today. Now, do you think he brought anybody to Jesus? I want to tell you something. When he loaded that little red wagon up with all them gold coins and started pulling it down the road and giving money back to people and giving money to the poor, I promise you, people came to see what has happened to this guy who was such a crook, and now he's on the team for Jesus. And my last guy would be what you guys picked. It would be Paul. You know, he would be the most unlikely to be chosen. If they were having an award for Christian of the Year, I guarantee you his name would not have been mentioned. Because, man, he persecuted Christians. He was zealous. He was well-trained. He was well-educated. He knew the book of the law. He knew what the Old Testament taught. And everything that Jesus was teaching was going against that, or a lot of the things. And man, he just couldn't handle it. So he set out to persecute Christians. Matter of fact, he was there when the first guy was killed because of his faith in Jesus. They stoned Stephen to death, and Paul actually held the clothes while they threw the rocks. But you know what? As he is walking down a road one day called the Damascus Road, God blinded him from a heavenly light, and he couldn't see, and he heard this voice that said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul said, who is it? He said, it is I, Jesus, the one that you persecuted. And that day, he became a follower of Jesus. Man, he suffered for him. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was put in prison. But he was a faithful player for God's team. He was definitely on the super team of the apostles and the people in Jesus' day. And you know what? He ended up writing almost half of the New Testament, none of which is more important to you and I than the book of Romans. Because found in that book of Romans is what we call the Roman Road. And the Romans Road is how we use to point people to Jesus. Just as Paul went down the Damascus Road, God gave us a Romans Road. And I want to share that with you this morning. The first one's found in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. And it says this, for all have sinned. Say all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now let me explain that to you. How does that work? Well, the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens, the earth, the moon, the stars, that all things were made by Him, and without Him nothing was made. And that He reached down and He picked up dirt and He formed a man in His own image, and He blew the breath of life into their nostrils, and they became a living soul. And God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden, and He put him in a sleep, and He took a rib and He made woman. And there they lived. They had everything they needed. But God said, there's a tree in the middle of this garden, and if you eat of this tree, you're going to surely die. And this is where the devil comes into the picture. He is a fallen angel, and the devil came to the woman. He came to Eve and said, man, you will not die if you eat of that tree, but you will be like God. He lied to her. He deceived her, and she ate. And at that moment, their eyes was open, and they realized they had sinned, and sin entered into the world. And because of that very first man and woman, Adam and Eve, you and I inherited a sinful nature. And that's why the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in Romans chapter 5 and verses 8, it says, but God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about Jesus loved you so much that He died for you. He came to earth and He did all kinds of miracles. He made blind eyes to see. He made deaf ears to hear. He made the lame to walk. But the main reason He came was to die for you so that you could have forgiveness of your sin. And He did it just the way you are. I want to share a little story with you about Sally and Bill. They went out to their grandfather's farm, and Bill got him a slingshot. Man, he was out there. Y'all ever had a slingshot? He's out there pulling that thing back, and he was shooting at everything. Man, he couldn't hit nothing. But then there was this little duck come by, and he put him a rock, and he drawed back, and he shot at that duck. And you know what? He hit it right between the eyes, and he killed that duck. He thought, man, what am I going to do now? And he took that duck, and he took it back in the woods, and he dug a hole, and he covered it up, and he hid it. Well, the next morning when they went to have breakfast, and they started to eat, and Grandma says, hey, man, we're going to go fishing after a while, but I need somebody to stay here and help me with the chores. And you know what Bill's little sister did? She leaned over to him and said, I saw the duck. Uh-oh, he was caught now. So he said, I'll stay here and do the dishes. That night when it come time to go out to play, he said, who wants to go out and play? And who wants to help me here around the house? And little Sally would lean over to Bill and say, I saw the duck. Man, it was tearing him up on the inside. But you know what happened after a couple of days? Little Bill was sitting there with his grandma, and she looked at him and said, hey, Bill, something bothering you? He said, yes, Grandma. I said, you know, my grandpa gave me that slingshot. Man, I was shooting at everything. He said, I couldn't hit nothing. He said, I shot at the barn. I missed the barn. But when I was shooting at the duck, I hit the duck and I killed the duck. Grandma, I killed it. She said, I know. I saw you. I've known it all along. I was just waiting for you to tell me. You see, that's the way God is. He sees everything we do. He knows everything that happens in that little dash. And someday we're going to stand before Him. You know what He's waiting to do? He's just waiting for us to tell Him. Because He's already died on that cross for our sin to forgive us. We just need to tell Him and ask Him. And then in Romans 6:23 it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, what does that mean? The devil came to kill, steal, and destroy, but God came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. That means we have a choice. We have a choice to make. When Christ died on that cross, He paid for our sin, past, present, and future. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent His Son not into the world to condemn it, but that through Him the world might be saved. Now listen to me. He who has the Son has life, but he who does not is condemned already. And someday we'll pass away, and someday we will die, and someday we'll stand in front of God, and He's going to look at us, and He's going to see everything that was written down in that dash. And the question's going to be, what did you do with Jesus? Did you ask Him to forgive you and come into your heart? Because if you did, you go to heaven. But if you didn't, He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And it doesn't matter if we're 8 or for 80, we're all going to have to do that. And we never know when that dash is going to end. And that's why this next verse is so important. Romans 10 and verse 9, it says this. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, that we shall be saved. For with our mouth salvation is made, and with our heart one believes unto righteousness. You know what the greatest part is? In verse 13 it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, at Upward, everybody plays. And just because you're born doesn't mean that you belong to God. You have to be born again. To be on God's team, you've got to ask Him to forgive your sin, to come into your heart. And that's going to determine whether you spend eternity in heaven or whether you go to spend eternity to the lake of fire with the devil and his demons. We have to make that choice. And you know how God calls us to be on our team? When you hear this word today and you feel in your heart, you know that's something you need to do. You know that you need to ask Him to forgive your sin and come into your heart. All you got to do is ask Him. But you got to mean it, and then you got to follow Him. I want to ask you this morning, have you done that? Is God speaking to you? I want to ask you to close your eyes and bow your head. I'm going to ask you a question. If you were to die, where will you spend eternity? And if you're not sure of that, and today you want to be sure, today you want to make sure that Jesus is the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting, you pray. You pray right now with me. You just whisper it quietly right there in your chair. You pray this prayer right here. You got a meeting. There's nothing special about the prayer. It's a decision that you make that you're going to ask God to forgive your sin, come into your heart, and you're going to follow Him. If that's what you want to do right where you're sitting, you pray this right now. Dear God, I want to ask You to forgive my sin, to come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I choose to follow You. In Jesus' name. Now I want to ask you to keep your head